Welcome to Crane Radio. Celebrate a life well lived.
Welcome to Season 2 of The Modern Crone, the rise of the energy arts. This season, I'm talking with the most highly regarded and established energy healers that I know about their views on energy, the psyche, and the dazzling capacities of the human system. We will be exploring 6 different energy healing modalities, and together we'll take the energy arts from woo-woo to wow-wow and deepen the narrative of what I and many believe to be the future of healing and wellness science. I hope you feel inspired. It is my pleasure to introduce our guest for this episode, Sufen Pafasarang. Sufen is an ex-corporate executive with the AIG and Marsh Group who left her successful corporate career to become a full-time mother. After a tragic loss and health crisis, Sufen credited the Body Talk system for her quick recovery of the disease without drugs. Her healing journey led her to learn the Body Talk system in 2010. Sufen now integrates the fields of mind and body medicine with the Body Talk system. She provides whole person centered healthcare, integrating medical science, neuromuscular biofeedback, and neuroscience and neuroplasticity within the philosophies of health and wellness of both Vedic and Chinese traditions. She directs the Body Talk Center in Singapore, where she teaches the Body Talk and Mindscape courses in Singapore and internationally. She also coordinates Body Talk courses for the Asia Pacific region. When she's not teaching, she's running a busy clinic where she conducts private Body Talk treatments. Sufen, welcome to the Modern Crone. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hello, Danny. Great to have you.
It's great to see you again. So we met each other for a private retreat, didn't we? For
a private event, isn't it?
It was a private event with a family that was gathering from all over the place here in Singapore. But we weren't allowed to join each other's sessions. So I could hear the feedback from the participants in your sessions, and it just absolutely blew them away. And then COVID hit, but here we are again, which is so good to be able to talk about our shared passion of the energy arts and healing. So
yeah, so good to finally meet you here.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I mean, you combine a number of different modalities, and you're very seasoned and well-regarded in Body Talk. You're well-regarded in Family Constellation, or what you refer to as Family Matrix, which we're going to get into. And you also teach Mindscape. So this might be a very difficult question to answer, but let's start with Body Talk. Could you give us, in a nutshell, assuming that people listening to this don't know what it is, could you explain to us what Body Talk actually is?
In a nutshell, Body Talk is a healthcare system, but it looks really at the mind. That's why we have a course called Mindscape. Mindscape is a way we tune into our intuition to understand what life and how life is reflected upon us through the environment, and how our relationships with people, the environment, will shape who we are, our reactions to everyone else and everything else around us. When we talk about what is Body Talk in a nutshell, it is about health, looking from the perspective of what is it in our environment that causes us to fall sick. And we address the relationships with those aspects. It can be a person, it can be work, it can be a career, or concepts and beliefs about things around us, or we call the environment. So therefore, we look at Body Talk in terms of what is in the mind that is then reflected in the physical body as an illness. And we address the illness through understanding the relationships the person has with the environment.
That's a pretty good nutshell. And so, first of all, your journey. So in talking with different healers and energy workers in this season, there seems to be kind of two archetypal paths that have led them to what they do. Either a wounded healer experience, where either tragedy or trauma or their own health crisis had create some kind of a redirect in their life, or a successful path, if you like, on the ground. But then this feeling from when they were very little that there's more to life, and being able to sense energy and being perhaps naturally intuitive very young, that eventually causes them to look at what they're doing like a career. This is certainly my path, and go, look, it's great and it's fun and everything, but it's not what I'm here to do. But knowing a little bit about your story, you've got both of those kind of paths, haven't you? You know, you're a successful executive, but you also went through your own wounded healer journey too. Can you tell us a little bit about what brought you now into the energy arts and really service of other people?
So there are two components, and I hit the two. But I hit the second one, the one whereby you mentioned about feeling incomplete, in short, looking for something much bigger in life. I think that was there from the very beginning. Since I was very young, I was always asking the question about, what's life all about? Why do we have to be born, and why do we have to go to school and to live life and to be people and all that? So towards, I think, the first 12 years of my life, that was the question I had. But it slowly dissolved because, you know, mom would say, this is just what it is. And I took it as that was the truth. And when I had a tragic loss of the sudden death of my son, he passed away very suddenly in his sleep when he was 2 years old. That was what I call a very shocking event, which kicked me completely off balance. So I was continuing life as though I was alive. I was moving. I was going through day by day with my other children. I was just existing, let's put that way. Yeah. And when I realized that I just had to get by with life and just get everything going, that's where I was suppressing all the emotions and the experience that I could have looked at, feel into it, and we call it this, go through the grief and process it. But I didn't go through that part of it. Instead, I put in so much effort in trying to fill up my day, to try to forget and try to just live on with all the unhappiness I had. And one day, I just couldn't get out of it because I was completely burnt out. And my autoimmune illness was such that if you reflect back on the illness I had, an autoimmune disease called hyperthyroidism Graves. And Graves is a condition whereby the thyroid goes into hyperactivity. It will pump its heart 100 to 180 beats per minute, which represents what I'm trying to do in my life. I'm just trying to accelerate, move on.
Push through.
Get through every day as fast as possible to not think about the pain. And so the body will keep up with whatever I was thinking I wanted to do. And it will always match up with the mind. So the mind is thinking, let's just get through it. Hopefully time will heal all the pain and all the wounds. And therefore, the circadian rhythm, the whole body clock changed to that pattern. And I did not understand it at that point of time. And I wanted to seek medical help to address the discomfort and the health issues because I was so tired. I couldn't get out of bed, but my heart was racing between 100 to 150 beats per minute. Mm. I was not able to function. And I saw the Western doctor, the endocrinologist, and he said that we may have to remove the whole thyroid altogether. And that was when I said, okay, I need to stop and think and process this entire episode of not just my illness, but my health, my relationship with my family, myself. And that was when I decided to take a step back from everything and explore another type of healthcare system. I was quite fortunate that I bumped into a friend and she said to me, oh, Sufyan, you really look like you need some help. So let me book you a session with this person that does body talk. And that's when I had my first encounter with body talk. The name itself does not give a lot of information.
Yeah.
And it gives the impression of the way body talk was described to me at that point of time. And remember, I come from a very logical, left-brain, corporate background. I want everything that's scientific, everything that is tangible and logical. And when people say this person's just going to listen to your body and it's going to tell you what's going on with it, I thought that that is something I cannot put a finger to.
Yeah.
And I said, it's okay, I'm desperate enough, I would try it. And interestingly, I went for my first body talk session, and on the intake form, all I had to write down was my diagnosis. Nothing else.
Okay.
And she sat there, put a hand on my abdomen, the other hand on my arm, did some muscle checking, and then she came up with the body talk formula. So the session was very much about there is an increased blood flow from the heart to the thyroid and causing the thyroid to go into a hyperreaction. And there was an emotion attached to that, and the emotion was grief linking to one of my children.
Incredible.
And I didn't know this woman. I didn't tell her anything about my life.
Yeah.
I just offered my body.
Yeah.
And when she told me that, that's when I realized that this thing does work.
Yeah.
But I could not understand how it did or how it does. What happened after that was quite interesting because I saw the endocrinologist 2 weeks before I had body talk. And the doctor could listen from the stethoscope that there was an increased blood flow to the thyroid, which he never told me about. 2 weeks after body talk, I went back to the endocrinologist and he did the same thing. He took the stethoscope, put it on my thyroid, listened to it, and he was there for the longest time. And I was wondering what was going on there. And I asked him, "Doctor, is there anything wrong? You look very confused." And he replied, "Yeah, the last time I saw you 1 month ago, I listened to your thyroid and we can hear a sound of blood gushing to the thyroid. I'm trying to find that sound because it was recorded a month ago, but I can't find it now. I can't listen to it. So I'm just going to listen to it for a bit longer." And he finally said to me, "There is no more increased blood flow."
That's amazing. And that was after one session, wasn't it?
After one session. Yeah. And I did ask the doctor, "So what does that actually mean?" And he said, "It means your thyroid is improving because the increased blood flow will cause the thyroid to go into hyperactivity. And when there isn't that increased blood flow, it's going to start to slow down."
Amazing. Mm. Well, first of all, any mother listening to this would be feeling the impact of that event in your life, you know. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I kind of get how your system blocked it for a bit so you could protect yourself a little bit from the intensity of the loss and the grief and so on. But it's the prolonged avoidance of processing the event, which is where it starts to really sort of solidify in our body, isn't it? So, I mean, that's incredible. And so how long did it take after that first session? You saw 2 weeks later, measurable difference. And then how long after that and how many body talk sessions until you were pretty much all clear?
So after that one session, I decided to go back for more.
And understandably.
So me and my practitioner, we went through 2 sessions per month. And after 6 months, all the symptoms disappeared. And a total of 9 months from start to end, all the autoimmune markers went down to zero.
Incredible.
So,
and no drugs.
No drugs.
No Western intervention, just measuring.
Yeah. And he offered me many options and I kept telling him no. And he was very worried about me. So usually patients would go in every 3 months for a blood test, but he wanted to see me every month to make sure I didn't die.
Okay.
And that's where he realized that, oh, you know, this is the first time he's seen a miracle.
So for you, you obviously then had this amazing personal experience. And then from there, did you just go straight into, at this stage, had you left your career?
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
In the middle of my illness, I signed up for the Boy Talk class.
Okay.
To learn it and understand it, because my logical brain could not grab onto the concept of how someone can observe what's going on in the body without an x-ray, without MRI reef, without anything tangible. And I did the whole entire Boy Talk curriculum to understand it. And even after doing all that, I still didn't understand it. Because at the end of the day, it's really about letting go of trying to control.
Yeah.
Letting go of trying to understand. Letting go of trying to think you are who you think you are.
Yeah, your story, the story. Yeah. Yeah.
And when I gave up trying to understand all that, that was when then a new realization came in of what the energy world is about, and everything came together. So a lot of people learn Boy Talk and they don't get it. And it's not about getting it. It's about trying to understand why are you here in the first place trying to learn all these things. A lot of people go with modalities like yoga. Great. I love yoga. I practice yoga myself. Going to energy work, Reiki and all that. All these are fantastic modalities that I personally embrace. But it's not about doing it.
Yeah.
But asking yourself why are you there in the first place gives a lot more information, more meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's a key question in my. I teach a combined course of Sui Reiki, but also psychic development. And the first question I ask people when they come in is, what's your core motivation for being here? Why are you here? And keep asking yourself that as you go along this journey, because when you're really aligned with your core motivation, which when everyone boils it down, it always comes to that essential question of who am I really? And what is this game of life really? You know, and once they really tap that existential question, really, that's when things really open up for them. Yeah, that's so beautiful. Oh my goodness, I've got so many questions. Okay, so we've talked before about the history of DNA, and I think this might be a bit of an overlap between body talk and possibly family matrix work, but and how we're all a culmination of stories of our soul's journey, you know, from, you know, conception through to adulthood, possibly even past lives, if that's a framework that your clients are open to. Could you explain a bit more about what the history of our DNA is actually about?
So we're going to look at the history of the DNA and how that actually comes up in a Boy Talk session.
Okay.
Right? So a person can be predisposed with all the health conditions that their parents, the grandparents, the ancestors have had before, but it doesn't mean that they'll get it in this lifetime. So we are asked in many medical forms, do you have cancer in the family, diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol? Those are the standard questions. It does not mean that if someone has had it in the family that, no, you would have it. Yep. Or I would have it. But rather, we are looking at what has happened in the ancestry line. Who was the one that started this illness? Why did it start? What were the conditions that create the disposition for the ancestor to start a new line of health issues? And how is that then passed on? And how do we turn it on from our current state of being that then resonates with the energy of the ancestor that then turns on what I call the health issue in our bodies? So when we're looking at the history of the DNA, we look at, you know, the double helix.
Yep.
The scientists say that only 10% can be read, and the junk DNA is 90%.
Yeah.
So in the junk DNA, we look at the on-off buttons of all the predisposed genetic health issues that we have, that we can turn on and turn off. So if a parent has diabetes, for example, it does not mean that, you know, down the track, everyone's going to have it. It has to resonate from a belief system, a habit pattern. So I'm going to give you an example. A man who has never drunk alcohol before in his life, or maybe he'll take an occasional drink here and there, but he's not an alcoholic. He loses his job, and then he turns to alcohol, and he has one drink, and that one drink became 10 drinks a day, and it became a permanent thing.
A habit, yeah. Mm.
And then that results in a health condition, maybe a liver disease, for example. And he cannot put down his drink. And people around him would look at him and wonder what's changed in him. And when we look at a classical example of this, then we look at the DNA of how this behavior pattern is familiar somewhere in the ancestry line. We have to look for a story that's running in parallel.
Okay, so we even know from genetic science that tendencies like addictions and also fears too are actually passed down through the DNA. So when you, let's go with this particular example because it's fascinating. So, I mean, this sounds a lot like epigenetics, right? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing, epigenetics.
So good old Bruce Lipton, you know, the biology of belief, love that book. But is it important that the client actually can identify this ancestor, or you pick up that when you are going into the story, the history of the DNA, and how do you pick that up? Is this where your intuitive senses come in?
There are many ways to answer this question, but in short, we use a technique called mindscape, which is intuition and using the intuitive sense to sense it. The second way is going through the Boyle Talk protocol chart, and there is a whole series of questioning that we can ask the body, and the body will respond a yes and no. And we can ask, for example, the questioning would be, we call this an 8th chakra event, and said yes. Is it coming from family history? Yes or no? Or is it coming from an environment or a religious or cultural belief or cultural past life? So if we look at culture, then we're looking at, is it the Chinese culture, depending on where the client comes from, or is it racial culture? From the culture, we then understand what is the point we are trying to identify and observe.
Okay. And the body responses of yes or no, is that done through kinesiology? Or is that you can sense a tilt towards yes or no in the vibration of the body?
So in the beginning, when students first learn it, we do it like applied kinesiology. We pull the arm. So there is a strong yes or no. The muscles will relax or it tense, and it will go into what we call that communication channel through muscle checking.
Yep.
As we progress through the years with Boyle Talk, that yes or no response becomes innate.
Yeah, you sense it.
So we sense it. So because we are able to sense it, then we are able to pick up whether if there is a story in there in an organ, where is it coming from? Is it coming from family history? And if it's yes, then we ask, is it coming from mother's side or father's side? Is it and if it's the mother's side, is it the mother's mother or the mother's father? And we keep asking until the body says, yes, stop, that's enough. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, 10 out of 10, you're on it. You're on the nub of it. Yeah. Yeah, super interesting. And so with the diagnosis, so that's sort of like a diagnosis in a way, like what's the real seed of this condition that's today? And then how's it treated? So, and we've talked about this a bit, about how even the power of our awareness of the causal grid or event starts to heal it. But do you run energy into that story? How does it release?
So when we look into the body, we don't diagnose. A client can come with 10 different health issues, but we are looking at a priority, and we will not diagnose what's going on. So the power of the observation is what changes the body, because when we observe the body will then come up with the information it wants the practitioner to understand, and the practitioner is literally the translator of the body. So it will want to always connect and group together and to identify what's going on, and the body would then give the solution and the formula for change.
Okay.
So there is a health issue the client will come in with, the body will indicate what are the priorities it wants to look at, the sequence of healing and how it wants to be balanced, and the strategy for change. So we have a few strategies in Boy Talk, what to do with infections, microbes, or you know, injury and illness or disease. We have different strategies for healing. However, we have to keep asking the body which strategies it wants to use, and the formula will be tailor-made to each and every health situation based on how that person is, their emotional makeup, and their genetic makeup as well.
So it's not formulaic as such. But you know what I love about this, though, is that I think there's this misconception that the body is kind of the dumb end of the consciousness field. But what body talk, what you're saying is the body actually is hyper intelligent, knows what's going on, knows what it needs.
Exactly.
Tired of working from home? Maybe you're just looking to add some scenery to your morning commute. Instead of just walking from your room, to your bathroom, to your kitchen, to your room, add a stop at Crane, where you can work, play, dine, shop, and socialize within restrictions at $99 a month.
And certainly in my observation of the intuitive healers in my community, is that the more that I engaged in running the Reiki or more expansive paradigms around what spirit is and what energy is, the sharper my intuitive faculty became. Do you see that too in your work, that there is this correlation between working with energy and the intuitive senses, and they're becoming more finessed, sharper, more accurate? Do you see that within your journey as a healer as well?
Two things happens with Boy Talk practitioners. Number one, intuition gets louder.
Yeah.
Number two, our health improves.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Because when we observe another body, or when a person comes in for a session, there is what we call mirroring. Like right now, we're entangled in a mirror of what we need to learn and understand about ourselves.
Yeah.
And the same way with every Boy Talk session, when we are working to balance a client, understanding that balancing and the formula that is happening with the client, it shifts within the practitioner themselves. And therefore, the health of the practitioner improves, because with every session that I give to someone else and observe their healing process, I take a part of that for myself as well.
Yeah.
So my health has improved tremendously over the last no more than 10 years since I've had Boy Talk. If you ask me about my energy levels, they are much higher than when I was maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the number of COVID cases that I treat day in and day out, it's like my bread and butter right now in the pandemic. I'm not afraid of the pandemic. I'm not afraid of the virus, and I get in touch with people actually who have COVID.
Yeah.
And it has not affected me in any way. And therefore, I always say to a practitioner, if you want to learn Boy Talk or you want to learn any kind of healing modality, it is a way of understanding what's going on in the world, what's going on with other people, what's going on within ourselves. And when we understand why every client has come to us. So we have this thing in Boy Talk that we teach called the mirroring.
Yep.
Nobody comes on the table just by sheer luck. Yep. There is no coincidence. There is a reason for a person being there.
Which is a personal reason related to you as well.
There is always a personal reason. Yep. And what is it, as a practitioner, do I need to learn today through the life of another person?
That's a beautiful perspective.
And therefore, if a practitioner does not learn that, and we come into the, oh, I'm better than you, that's why I'm the practitioner, that's where there will be no healing that will occur with the client, and there will be no wisdom that will be learned by the practitioner. And therefore, I always say to my students that if you learn this, you learn this because you want to understand yourself, and through the understanding you want to give of yourself to other people. And therefore, that is the way you gain wisdom, and that is the way you heal other people.
Totally agree. You know, I mean, what you're really talking about, I guess, is oneness consciousness, unity consciousness, isn't it? Which is also an element in the course that I teach, because, you know, this idea that the illness and the well-being of anybody is actually one thing. It's like two expressions of the one pole, a lot like what you were talking about with Mindscape, where the outer sense and the inner sense are actually one thing. You know, they're two aspects, clairvoyance and everyday sight is the sense of sight. It just has an inner and an outer pole. They're one thing, you know. And this idea is, well, as within, so without, you know, that everything that we experience is a reflection of the inner state and vibrational resonance that we hold, and it organises our phenomenal universe. You know, we're essentially creative beings. So, I mean, this is what I love about these conversations is in this podcast. We're all talking about the same kind of stuff. Also, this experience that you've had in your life of having more vitality, not getting sick, not being afraid of sickness, that's absolutely been my experience as well. You know, in the Vedas, that, you know, this is a city. This is what they call one of the cities that boots up when you move on the path of awareness and awakening, or whatever you want to call it, is that these spiritual attributes become active in your life. And one of the known cities is you just don't get sick anymore, which is a bonus.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's at least it gives you a sense of sort of, you're like no fear, you know, which you could argue it's the fear that plays into the compromised immune system, but that's a whole other conversation. So, you know, we were talking about earlier the organs and the importance of the organs, and this, I might have this wrong, but this seems to be like a very important focus for body talk, is actually going into the various organs. So is that where the concentrated story is in the, how would you explain the importance of, obviously physiologically they're important, but in terms of healing and finding the stories?
Yeah, we call it a library of stories.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Yeah.
And in Body Talk, we observe the story and we need to find the location of where it's stored. Yeah. And we go through the protocol and ask, is it in the organ, in an endocrine, or in the body part? And the body will indicate the exact location. Based on the story and the location, we then understand what the person is thinking or how the mindset is.
Yeah.
And therefore, we have to understand where the location is in order to shift the physical body. So if we understand the story alone, we probably could shift in terms of the consciousness. But when we understand where it's stored in the body, in that physical part, for example, the liver, we can then improve the physiology of that body part.
So are there a system of correspondences? So, for example, someone might come in to see you with chronic back pain, but when you go into the story, you might find the causal story for that is located in the heart. So they don't always match up.
They don't match up all the time.
Yep.
And we have so many body parts.
Yeah, we do. And microsystems as well.
So and when we look at, for example, something that's very common, hip pain, right? A lot of people think that, oh, okay, it's coming from the bones, the muscles, the ligaments, posture. You know, logically we think that is what it is. But instead, if we look in the corresponding organs, looking at the organs from a Chinese medicine perspective, lower back pain, hip pain. Just going to give one example. It can come from what we call the kidneys. The kidneys being in an imbalance or too much stress, too much fear that then overload the kidneys. Because the kidneys are supposed to be what I call that organ that helps us to process fear, help us to increase our willpower and courage. However, when there is too much going on, something new that has come in and we have to strive to try to be someone that we are not, take on a new job, there's a new role to play. And then that fear of not being able to feel that courage. And then you would see the health issues in the hips, not trusting that they are good enough.
Mm.
You look at it in the back pain, you know, the fear of losing the job. There is all that consciousness that comes in. So when a person comes in with back pain and hip pain, and I say to them, you're going to work on the kidneys. Most of the time, they don't understand the rationale of how that links together. But when we understand it from how it then links through the Chinese medicine perspective of what are the qualities of the kidneys, which is processing fear, giving courage and willpower, then you understand how that kidney energy is going to balance the back pain and the hip pain.
Yes, so interesting. And and different modalities have different correspondences, don't they? So, you know, that's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast. We're going to have to get you back. When we talked a little while ago, you were talking to me about the linking process. So once you've sort of got the story, like for example yours, where there was a connection between your heart and your thyroid, and then the body talk practitioner will start to commence a linking process. What does that mean?
So every body part has to communicate with each other.
Yep.
Okay, it's when there is a disconnect that illness happens. So because of the disconnect, we have to link the body part. So whenever when we look at the body talk formula, for example, liver to heart to lungs, okay? What that means is the liver meridian is going to drive the blood flow that comes from the heart into the lungs to allow the lungs to have more capacity to circulate oxygen in the body.
Yeah.
So every body part has what we call a function, it has a physiology, and it has a consciousness. Consciousness means it knows exactly what it's supposed to do. Sometimes it either gets lazy, it forgets, or it needs to be reminded. So when we link a part of the body together, what we are doing is reminding we have a role to play. Come on, wake up.
Yeah, there's a dialogue. Yeah. And so how do you actually do the linking? Is that through the tapping or?
So we have to find the links first.
Okay.
And after the links are all found, we call that the formula. Then only the body will say, okay, we can implement now. Now you can tap.
Okay, got it. All right. So the body's really directing the whole session.
The whole thing. I wouldn't know what to do from the moment the client comes in. I only know what to do when I'm directed by the client's body.
Incredible. Yeah. And even regardless of the awareness of the client.
Regardless of the awareness of the client doesn't need to understand anything about body talk or energy work or anything at all.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. I bet you have a few clients that really want to know after they've experienced it, though. That's probably how you fill your courses up, I'd say. All right, that's so good. So what does a typical session look like? Do you use touch and does it translate online?
Now with the pandemic, my sessions have moved online as well.
Yep.
How is the session done? First, an intake form is completed by the client.
Yep.
The intake form will indicate what their objectives are for the session. So whether or not they're coming to fix a headache or something more chronic like cancer and where they want to be at recovery.
Mm-hmm.
When a person comes in, the first thing I always ask is if you manage to gain full health, what would you like to do with your life? And a lot of times people don't know. they just say they want to be well. But if you're well, what would you do? Would you go back to dancing? Would you go back to the job that you used to do? Would you do something different? Or would you aspire to create something new? And that's very important for anyone who wants to look at healing, because if the universe will give you perfect health and energy and everything that you can do with your life, what will you do with it? Mm. And if it's not anything significant or doesn't have any impact on the relationships that person have in their lives, then where is that motivation for healing?
Yep.
I'm always looking for the motivation for a person to want to heal, because when there is no motivation, when there's no will, there will be no energy resource in the body to drive healing. Mm. I have seen people who are near death, but the willpower is so strong that they recover.
Yep.
And that's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
So that's one of the things I look at the intake form. And number two, when they come in for a physical session, they lie on the table. I have one hand on the abdomen to listen to the body, and the body will indicate a yes or no response through muscle checking and also through what you call intuition. You intuitively can feel the yes and the no.
Yep.
And we run through the body talk protocol with all the questions that we have to ask to derive at the story, the location, and the strategy for change. So when you ask, how do we do it on Zoom? We do it absolutely the same way without the touch.
Do you use a proxy like we do in Reiki?
Some people do that. Yeah. I don't. Different people will sense the yes and no differently.
Yeah.
And most of the practitioners, we train them to be able to feel the yes and no.
Yeah.
So we don't really have to use a proxy. And we still go through the questioning, through the protocol chart. And then we ask the questions, we come up with the body talk formula, show the yes and no's that we feel. Because we are not looking at a physical body at each session. We are looking at the mind. Yeah. And the mind is out there. It is not tangible. And the mind, even if a person is in the USA, from Singapore, when we go into tapping into the consciousness of the mind, it goes through time and space. Therefore, we don't need a person physically in front of us. The physical contact is nice in terms of, let's get together, let's have a human touch.
Yeah.
Let's come together, you know, because we humans need that connection. It's more that than anything. The healing works the same way whether you come in person or you come on the session via Zoom.
Yeah.
Because we are looking at what's going on in the mind.
It's incredible, you know, and I every Wednesday I do distance work. So I do Mondays and Thursdays in person. I agree about the touch and the connection, and the client feeling seen and heard is massively healing within itself. But I find that in the main, certainly from the intuitive side and also the sensed energy, that the distance sessions can be much more powerful. And I don't really know why that is. I think perhaps it's because I'm in my sacred space doing it. So, and also I don't have the consideration of helping them feel comfortable and helping them feel safe, because they're already in their place wherever they are around the world. But I'm fascinated by this shared consciousness and this ability, with the intention and with the training, to be able to perceive very, very clearly exactly what the mind, not the brain, the mind, the consciousness field of the person is indicating it needs for healing. It's just incredible. And there seems to be an element of that in nearly every energy art that at least I know of and that we're talking about. Okay, next question. This is so good. For you as a healer, like we've talked about that, you know, working in the energy arts absolutely keeps your system very strong, keeps you well, it helps with your levels of vitality. But what happens when you're having a crappy day? Like, do you have your own kind of daily energy work that you do, and what does that look like so you can really turn up for your clients each day?
It's a very interesting question, but someone asked me that the other day, and actually, I see clients day in and day out. I have to decompress by being alone. So my off days, I don't see anybody. So some of my friends, they want to meet up for coffee and lunch and whatever, and it's very hard for me to say yes, because actually I need that me time on my own, and that's the time I reflect. And for me, reflection is important because it helps me to think about what is it I need to understand about my life and my relationships and things that are going on within me and everything else. My life is busy, right? And when I come to a point whereby I feel that my alone time is not enough to check my own blind spots, then I go for a boy talk session.
Okay. Yep.
So I either book in with practitioners in Singapore, or I book in with John Valentine himself.
Yep.
And we have a session on Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah. Go back to the master. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I still use boy talk as my go-to because it's a system that I resonate with.
Yep.
And it is a system that I have seen change in terms of health for many different things throughout my, the last 10 over years. I have days and bouts where I'm tired, and there was once I had a very mysterious time whereby my iron levels dropped to a very, very low level. And usually someone like that probably would be horizontal in bed. But I was still running full-day clinic, 4 days a week, 10-hour work days. I was still able to function, but I know that I was not optimum.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit more tired than usual, but I could not understand what that was. And I decided to try Chinese medicine and everything. It didn't really work. And then I said, okay, it's time now to sit with the master.
Yeah.
So I booked in with John. And he would do something really simple in terms of a boy talk formula. But the change is profound. And I'll go like, oh, that's a reminder. Because I treat people all the time. I never experience it. Every once in a while, I need to fall sick to get myself reminded that why am I doing this in the first place? Because it does work. And I have to fall sick sometimes. Something that's not too serious for me to find myself again through my own pain and my own illness, to remind myself that, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it.
Yeah, and I guess to give you a deeper degree of empathy with clients that come in, with similar conditions as well. Like, there's a conditions or whatever, they have their own signature vibrations, don't they? So when you've experienced it within your own body, you can recognize it in somebody else's. Yeah. So the spirit, as we say in shamanism, the spirit of iron deficiencies paid you a visit. So you can so you can recognize when you're near it again. Yeah. So then what's next for you? So you're super busy, nearly everyone I meet knows of you, here in Singapore. So, but do you, more of what you're doing, or is your awareness being drawn towards another modality, or like what's next for Su Fen?
Boy talk is a huge modality and on its own, and I have not mastered it. I've taken all the courses, but I've not studied it in depth for every module. I'm very left brain, so I want to memorize everything. I want it all in the brain. I want it all learned by heart, which means that I know it, like at my fingertips.
Yeah.
Because the curriculum is so extensive, I want to go in depth into studying the epigenetics of stuff. Yeah. And we have a lot of concepts to learn, and that's where I am right now. We call that Parama. Parama Boy Talk is that advanced level of boy talk, but it is going deeply into the brain, dissecting the brain in many different quadrants and sections, and looking at how every section will reflect on the behavior and Yeah, that's probably my next thing to do. It's really to learn it and learn it well.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Sufen Pafasarang, thank you so much for your time today. Fascinating. And I know we've only just touched on the surface, but I know there's going to be a lot of people that are very interested in this. And I'll be putting your contact details with the promo material for this podcast. But I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danny.